Let's take you to Ukraine now and Joseph Lindsley. The word from Ukraine is fighting is getting intense. And the front line is, I don't know how you describe it, Joe. Maybe you can tell us. It's heavy, 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 isn't it?
Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. Yes, it's heavy indeed. And in fact, I was talking over the weekend with friends who were on a small break from the front and about to head back there. So I have a little bit of a better sense now of what exactly is happening there. Meanwhile, which I'll explain to you. Meanwhile, yesterday, it was a calm weekend here in Kyiv, in the capital. Yesterday was Palm Sunday here. It's a different schedule than the rest of the world. And all throughout the city, beautiful 70-degree weather. People were carrying the willows, sort of the branches of trees, as is traditional on Palm Sunday. And you saw families and people living a normal life on a calm day in the parks, on the sidewalk cafes. And it was a nice thing to see. But in other parts of Ukraine, it was a difficult weekend, as is so often the case. Late Friday night, the Russians attacked a mental hospital in Kharkiv. And then in the early hours of Saturday, around 5 a.m., Russians began to attack Ukrainian infrastructure throughout the country, including in western Ukraine. So it was a pretty sleepless night for many people. But yet here in Kyiv, as I said, it was pretty calm. And those moments of calm give you a chance for people to talk and sort of reflect on everything. And I met with an American woman who she had volunteered in Ukraine over a year ago as a combat medic, or as a medic in Bakhmut, actually. She was helping civilians. And the Russians targeted her convoy. They had rushed to the scene to help those who'd been injured by a previous attack. And then the Russians targeted the medical vans that her team were in. She happened to be on the ground about to attend to someone who'd been wounded previously, and that's what saved her life. But she was pretty badly wounded, and so she went back to America to heal. And even though she still has shrapnel in her leg, she came back to Ukraine just a few days ago. And so this is that spirit you see of people, even if they've been already through hell and they have every excuse, you know, to stay home in the U.S. and rest. They don't like to be away from here. They want to be here. And then I also spoke with, you know, there's people, because of the situation at the front, and, you know, there's a lot of difficulties as this goes on. People, you know, there's some sense of depression. People are struggling with a lot of, you know, just imagine, I was hearing from people in Odessa amid the air raid alarms over the weekend. It's very stressful, you know, and you know, I was thinking today, you know, I have not heard a drone or a missile in maybe like, I don't know, 10 days. I've been pretty lucky as I've been traveling around the country, and it's kind of nice, you know, not to have to hear those noises. But you realize at any moment, of course, that could change. And then I was talking with a friend who's a foreign warrior at the front. And, you know, so right now we're hearing a lot of people who are afraid or concerned, especially experts and observers, that at any moment, the Russians could have a major breakthrough and the line could collapse. And, these long-range weapons from the U.S. could not come at a better time. Perhaps some of them are already here, but really it's a very tenuous situation. But on the other hand, there's another part of that story that's easy to ignore, and that's a lot of what I learned over the weekend. There's so many incredible efforts. Like, things could be much, much worse. And I've heard stories of incredible units and heroism. You know, two years into this, people have sort of found the teams of warriors that with whom they work really well. They found better drone technology, and people are getting better. You know, the soldiers are getting better. And so there's some extraordinary units at the front line. And were it not for their actions, things could be a lot worse. And so in some sense, that was a very encouraging thing for me to hear, that actually, you know, because you always look at the flip side. Like, the Russians could have broken through that line many months ago, but because of the good things happening there, the Ukrainians have been able to hold on. So that's sort of the positive look at how difficult it is. But there is great hope that as soon as these American weapons are here and in use, they can make an extraordinary difference. And we're seeing a growing attitude change from Washington. Yesterday, Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, said, this is the first time we've heard this from the White House. He said it is up to Ukraine how and when to use these ATACMS, the long-range missiles, and our hopes are that they'll create some pretty good effects. Bob, that's extraordinary, because up till now, the White House has been very clear they don't want these used on Russian soil. I think that is changing, and that is giving people a lot of sort of focused hope right now here in Ukraine.
That is definitely a headline. It seems like Russia is taking advantage of this time gap until those weapons arrive. Does it seem that way to you?
Yeah, and this was another thing I discussed a lot over the weekend. But if you look at, going back to last summer, to July of 2023, that's when the grain deal between Russia and Ukraine, brokered by the UN, expired. And from that point, in late summer last year, the Ukrainians were able to start attacking Russian ships in the Black Sea. And we saw a period of Russian weakness throughout all of last fall. Russia did not have significant attacks, missile attacks throughout Ukraine. Russia had to focus their efforts on moving much of their navy away from their main port in Sevastopol in occupied Crimea to mainland Russia near the nation of Georgia. That took incredible resources from Russia, and it was a relatively peaceful period here in many parts of Ukraine. And that was the moment many people felt, if Ukraine had been really supplied then, that was a moment of Russian weakness. And all that time was lost. And meanwhile, Russia had time to change its strategy and to resupply itself. And so there is a sense of, there was a lost opportunity. But I think Ukrainians, it seems they've successfully made the case, including to many skeptics in Washington, that when they have the tools, they can get the job done, and it's a good investment. And so there's a hope that maybe we're reaching a new level of understand, focusing on the positive angle of it, reaching a new level here of understanding. Meanwhile, there is still continued pressure on Germany. The German Chancellor Olaf Scholz still refuses to send the German long-range missiles to Ukraine. But perhaps, if the U.S. weapons prove useful, maybe that'll change the mind of the German Chancellor.
It might. Let me close with a text from one of our listeners. Good morning, Bob. Joseph Lindsley is forever such the optimist. He has experienced little more than tumultuous times the last 2 years, and yet continues to be a voice of calm urgency for those of us who listen to his daily segments. Once the war is over and Ukraine solidifies their continued freedom, I sure hope WGN will treat him to one of the many cruises and destination vacations you host. Now, it says here, this is from Tim in Berwyn. Did you really send this to us and use the name Tim?
Why not? Tim, I respect that. Maybe there's some clues, like some Ukrainian letters in the email, you can tell.
I couldn't agree with him more. I couldn't agree more.
Great. I look forward to that day. And once these weapons get here from the U.S., maybe that day will be sooner than we realize.
Wouldn't that be something? Joe Lindsley, talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow. I'll think of what kind of email to write tomorrow.